All right, ladies and gentlemen, another quick rant of truth with me, Tyson Harley. This is a complex one, so I'm having issues. This is about my 50th try, because I'm not trying to make it a scales of truth. The reason I don't do the scales of truth as much is it's so much organization to make the long topics. I end up, you know, paralysis of analysis. So here I'm going to compare a recent, just from several years ago, explanation for a scientific topic, and pick it apart a little bit, and then bring up why it's really in line with a dissenter that was dismissed and had the character assassinated from about 20 years ago. Science still didn't really admit the weaknesses, the problems that the dissenter brought up, but they seem to have now incorporated those weaknesses as part of the definition, which is quite interesting. So what I'm comparing is some content in an article from the Business Insider, July 11th, 2017, entitled "Aliens from Another Dimension Might Have Created Our Universe, According to a Speculative New Study." Now, that dissenter information from 20 years ago or so that I'm talking about is Darwin's Black Box by Michael Behe. Super quick primer on that. He looked at many a biological example and went through the details to convince a person that, hey, there's a lot more complexity than these evolutionary scientists have ever addressed as far as, well, how do you explain the evolution in any of these many animals or species or whatever it might be? And he explained that it's incredibly complex, and you guys are acting like that complexity does not exist. And because it's so incredibly complex, with things like irreducible complexity, like two or more changes, random chance changes would have to happen at the same time, because without them occurring simultaneously, then there's really no advantage. You'd have a partial improved function that has to exist for hundreds of years, but it's not an improvement by itself. It would have to exist for hundreds of years, however long, for the proper extra mutation to be thrown on top of it. It's one where it's like you need a package deal for the thing to even function, let alone function in a way that is truly an advantage. Say, for instance, if it's a small fin, you know, as opposed to a big fin, then even that's a variable. So he pointed to many things like irreducible complexity. Like, the only way this works if there's at least two or three or more different parts of it. And an evolutionary science is not paying attention to that. And because of that, the chances skyrocket. Because you're, you know, taking whatever the chances are, which is low, of the one piece, times that same chance for the second piece, times that same chance for the third piece. But all three have to occur at once. He gave examples of the human eye and how irreducibly complex in any number of ways that is. He gave examples of the cellular transport system, which I don't know that it's irreducibly complex, but some of it certainly was. But then on the other hand, it's just highly, highly complex, period. It's basically as complex as UPS, just within the cell, all the things that have to happen. And then he also gave an example of the blood clotting mechanism, which, if any of the sequences are wrong, don't do any good and require some, you know, dozen to three dozen, I don't remember exactly, different sequences to occur and just right, so that the body doesn't just clot its blood all the time. So he gives this critique of evolutionary science and how they haven't really addressed these questions, even as they say evolution is a done deal, it is absolutely proven. He says, no, it's not. So forget what happens with my information, Michael Behe would say. That's not the point. My point is not who gives political ammunition to. So yes, his book was a seminal book in intelligent design that was used in the Battle of the School Boards. Quick aside, the Kansas School Board, if you remember that controversy, never banned evolution in the books. Despite the headlines, you can't blame Facebook for that one, because it wasn't around yet. It was straight up professional newspapers saying it. But watching the mass media for a long time, this idea that, well, professional journalism, it wasn't like that. Well, yes, it was. I read the articles. You definitely character assassinated. You misquoted. You mischaracterized the controversy at hand. The Kansas controversy was all we want to do is place stickers in the book that say evolution is a theory. They're trying to ban science in the Sunflower State. Yeah, insane. So that's the background for Michael Behe. Now, in this article, aliens from another dimension might have created our universe, according to a speculative new study, Business Insider. I'm going to read you a couple quotes and then show you they're saying the same thing, and also they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. So let me find which quote I want to start with. So I'll be back in just a moment. First I'll give just a little bit of background before I give that quote, because I can just paraphrase this. They talk about natural selection. Natural selection being some mutations are not important. So some mutations are going to occur, but it's the ones that are helpful that can, lead to a species. That particular mutation continuing and then giving a chance to take on more. And that's how the species would improve as far as its ability to reproduce versus the species before that mutation happened. It was a helpful mutation. It was natural selection, because it's not that there was any design behind it. It didn't happen because it would be an improvement, because that would be a plan. But evolution is not a plan. But what you can say is that whatever did manifest randomly, if it gave a certain advantage, then it is the one that survived more, because it gave an advantage to those species, excuse me, those individuals that carried that change that was advantageous. So that's your natural selection. But then they get into it. They start to say it in a really strange way. Remember what I said about Behe? Hey, the probability goes to astronomical and then some, once you have to multiply three probabilities together, because you need three things to happen at once. Or even once you go, there are so many steps to this development. And for all the steps to be right, there's just simply not enough time. So how could it have occurred? So remember, it's the complexity, the low probability of these complex systems arriving. And they're complex systems for any one of those number of ways. There's just so many parts involved. Like the eye, there's chains of events that are involved, like the blood clotting. Or there's irreducible complexity. There's giant amounts of different things going on. And if you have that, at some point you do have that irreducible complexity. So remember this, and I'll pick that quote that is most really in line with that without admitting it. Actually, before I go into that quote, I remember other people using this term. I don't believe that Behe did, but other people did for that argument. And so I'm going to cover that real quick. One thing they say is the second law of thermodynamics is that things don't become more complex. They tend to break down. Entropy tends to always be increasing so that systems become more disordered. So entropy is a measure of disorder, a degree of disorder in a physical system. And in that regard, they tend to always be increasing so that system has become more disordered. Well, then evolution could be considered more likely if these steps were pretty simple. You know, you do get the sense it is tends to become more disordered. Well, if it's only one step, that's one thing. But if it has to survive because there's many, many steps and it only becomes useful after the 10th step, then why would all these useless adaptations last long enough for that 10th step to occur, especially in the idea that entropy says over time, it's more likely to get less ordered, less complex. So any of these natural selections are tending against the tendency of entropy, that things don't become more complex. So that's an interesting distinction. I've heard it before. I've never quite been able to recite it in that way. Yeah, so how does something last in a unhelpful, incomplete way? You could say it would survive, but might it offer a disadvantage in the meantime, since the improvement in function is not there and won't be there for millions of years or tens of thousands of years? And if it is no improvement in function, then the intermediate not non-improvement vestige doesn't have any advantage in surviving versus the rest of the species. So how does the intermediate non-improvement go ahead and proliferate among the species? If not, you've got random chance and random chance in one species, but also you have the incredibly random chance added that it was apparently in one of the very small minority that got the intermediate step, because most of them didn't, and the ones that didn't get it would survive just as well because the transformation was not helpful. So this is where they incorporate the mystery that is really the critique on evolution into the basics. What science does, a quick aside, is when their theories are like way off, they just call it, give me a break. Give me a second. They use it for Einstein's theories and speed of light. They call it not a conundrum. I'm going to have to drop that word for now. I can't think of it. It's at the tip of my tongue. Paradox. They call it a paradox. When others might go, Don't you mean your theory's bad? So what happens when they have a theory but it doesn't explain this, they can kind of mystically call it a paradox. Oh, wow. Well, the underlying theory's good. Of course, right? Because that's what we've been going by. That's what we chose. But there is a paradox. So the theory's not good. It can't explain it. And there's a major thing it can't explain. Well, no, it's just, we can't explain it yet. So your theory's no good. I mean, that's a proper logical, you know, potential answer to that, right? Well, it can't explain this. What I'm saying is they built into this description a paradox, because that is in line with what Behe was saying. But they just act like, yeah, crazy, right? So here's the quote. Because organisms are bundles of complex adaptations, they are the most improbably complex things in the universe. And improbable complexity is, in fact, the hallmark of natural selection, the fundamental way in which we recognize that a trait actually is an adaptation. This makes them improbably low in entropy, which is the degree of disorder in a physical system. So hold on. If the critique was, this is highly improbable, explain it. They go, well, that's the thing, though. It is improbable. That's why we call it natural selection. The most improbable complex things in the universe. Yeah, that's how we know, how we recognize that a trait actually is an adaptation. No, it's not. It's that all adaptations are incredibly complex. If you look anywhere, Behe could have found any number of things. And it could have been the cellular transport system. It's because there's so much complexity in an organism. And they'll be like, well, that got added because it was helpful. And Behe would say, okay, let's go through the analysis. It's so complex, it makes incremental change to get to it astronomically improbable. And they say, well, that's what natural selection is. That's how we define it. Isn't that interesting? No, we'll just avoid that. We'll avoid the matter by including that in our definition. Yep, it is. Sure is. Thank you. Hey, but what about my question? How do you explain that? It's just very improbable. Yeah, that's part of our definition now. Now, this part, not this first paragraph, but the second one, is a straight up contradiction. Because natural selection is a process that, quote, designs organisms, incrementally organizing random disordered matter into complex functional organs, it is the most powerful anti-entropic process that we know of. Remember, that would mean that it makes it more complex because entropy means you're going towards disorder. So that's all they mean. Most powerful organizing process, if you will, or ordering process that we know of. But listen to this part. Without the incremental changes that natural selection allows, the only way a complex adaptation like a mammalian eye could come into existence would be as the result of random chance. And the likelihood of that is extremely low. Okay, they're bringing in some kind of mysticism into this because they're saying one thing and then they're saying the same thing and characterizing it differently. Without the incremental changes that natural selection allows, the only way a complex adaptation, like a mammalian eye, could come into existence would be as the result of random chance. And the likelihood of that is extremely low. Boy, sounds like they're admitting exactly what Behe said. The likelihood of a mammalian eye coming to existence is extremely low. So, good thing we have this other thing. Wait for it. The other thing is still based on random chance. So what are you talking about? Okay, this is the circle of words. It's really strange. Without the incremental changes that natural selection allows, it would have to, it'd have to rely on random chance. No, you're getting cause and effect and sequence wrong. All of it's random chance by evolution. It's just that if random chance turns into something functional, we call it natural selection. So how do they say without the incremental changes that natural selection allows? So they're still admitting it's incremental. So see, they're not saying anything there that's actually logical. Well, you know, what they're really saying is the chance of a mammalian eye coming into existence is extremely low. But they're trying not to say that. Okay, because they say the only way a complex adaptation like a mammalian eye could come into existence would be as a result of random chance. And that would be extremely low likelihood. Well, what happens is mutations are random chance. Okay, so random chance is a bigger group, a bigger number of mutations than is natural selection, because some of the random chances do not provide any advantage. And then natural selection is honestly a much smaller number. Now, to their point, it's incremental changes, which then is along with Behe. Yes, it's a bunch of incremental changes, but if they're useless, if the intermediate step is useless, Why would it survive? So isn't that funny how while they admit the complexity of something happening, if by random chance, they somehow try to say that, well, luckily we've got natural selection, which still depends on random chance. It's just that allegedly sometimes a random chance ends up in something useful. But the other interesting thing too is they try to portray it like it is purposeful. So I don't know if that's what they're trying to get us to think, even though they've already explained it's not purposeful. It's a little odd. They use purpose more than once. After they explain natural selection, they said, you know, the things like adaptations to the environment, camouflage to avoid predators, eyes to enable vision. Clearly, the purpose of these adaptations is to solve difficult problems. So are they bringing consciousness into it? Because no, the result is that some adaptations solve difficult problems. Isn't that interesting how they try to trick you into, you know, basically using the terminology of a conscience, an intelligence driving this, but yet in the same breath say that's not how it works. So first of all, purpose is described, and clearly the purpose of these adaptations is to solve difficult problems like seeing, digesting, or thinking. It's not the purpose. It's the result of when these mutations come into a happy combination that is helpful. The result is that difficult problems are solved, if you will. Really, it's just that function has been added, helpful function. Function that is really rubber meets the road and actual improvement. This one is not quite, it's saying purpose, but it throws in quotes, designs. Because natural selection is a process that, quote, designs organisms, incrementally organizing random disordered matter into complex functional organs. It is the most powerful anti-entropic process that we know of. No, it's not. It's not organizing random disordered matter. It is the result of just what happens to be the right random mutations thrown together incrementally. It is the most powerful anti-entropic process. No, it is the rare instance only under your theory that the mutations are helpful. Here's the other purposeful quote. It's really weird. So after they say, hey, without the incremental changes that natural selection allows, the only way a complex adaptation like a mammalian eye could come into existence would be as a result of random chance. No, natural selection is a product and a smaller subset of random chance. What are you talking? The random chance of mutation. And the likelihood of that is extremely low if it was based on random chance. It is. Anyway, right after that, it is based on that. It's based on a subset of that. And Behe's argument is that it's a very small subset of that. So after they say, in the likelihood of that being random chance creating a complex adaptation like a mammalian eye is extremely low, they say biological natural selection explains how adaptations have purpose to facilitate survival and reproduction and why organisms behave purposely. So this is another backwards sentence. No, biological natural selection doesn't explain how adaptations have purpose. It's that adaptations that are helpful are then categorized as biological natural selection. See, they keep trying to put this consciousness behind it. And of course, they said how adaptations have purpose to facilitate survival and reproduction. No, it doesn't facilitate that. That's active voice. No, it happens to be the random mutations that somehow pile on each other and survive not being useful because they're such complex systems. How would they survive not being useful what would need to happen is that every single sub-step is also as useful, no less useful, and results in as much reproduction or no less reproduction. And even then, if that's all the case was, why would it proliferate the population? If it started in one and it wasn't any more useful, unless that particular line end up being the only line that reproduced in the entire species, or just reproduced astronomically compared to the rest of them, it would still be a very small number of animals, a number of individuals in the species. So how would the chance of those incremental improvements stacking do well? But yes, to make it more convincing, they flip it around. Biological natural selection explains how adaptations have purpose to facilitate survival and reproduction. Wrong. It's adaptations that are helpful that you then call natural selection. And why organisms behave purposely? It doesn't. What are you talking about? And maybe they mean, if I were to go to follow this more explicitly, I would get it. But certainly it's not in this explanation. Biological natural selection explains why organisms behave purposely. It's random. What are you talking about? Organisms behave purposely. So it's just very interesting. It's just, you know, kind of just hide things in words. And Michael Behe and those like him got ripped. Like, they had something to do with trying to support the Christian right, you know. It's a human thing to go, well, geesh, I would like to know if some science happens to make my religion seem less magical, that's handy. So it is what it is. I mean, a scientist can't go, oh no, man, if I say this, that'll mean some religious types can make their religion seem less magical. And you know what that'll mean? What will it mean, buddy? What will it mean? The end of science! No, it won't. The end. It'll always be there. What are you talking about? The science is to release the information and to talk openly about weaknesses and theories, not act like it's ironclad. All right, that's it, guys. And as you can imagine, this is no longer a quick rant of truth. Turn this into a regular scales of truth, albeit not organized perfectly. But nonetheless, a discussion on an interesting yet an intricate topic. I found that overlap very interesting. And I'm a student of words and how certain ideas continue to get propagated, whether or not they deserve it as much as they do. And here I'll say the certainty of evolution is what's being propagated, and little word problems, little logic problems are in contradictions are hidden in the mess of words that still propagate them. It's very, very interesting to me how ideas get propagated, and then how that goes along with, why do you insist on being so, appearing to be so certain? Just admit where the weaknesses are. It's okay. It's okay. You can just be truthful. In fact, you have to be. If we're ever going to get back to just being able to open things, you can't go, I know how they'll take this, so I can't admit it. No, admit it and stand your ground. You know, stand your ground and say, well, yes, we have some work to do, but at this point, this is still what we believe. Behe brings up some excellent points, but we are not convinced we will, you know, whatever you want to do, that's fine. But don't act like certainty is to the point of sacred cow and to disagree or point out more detail and more development in knowledge base that would go against it and might inform you having to study more and might inform the general acceptance of the whole topic. Don't act like that doesn't exist and is offensive. That's not science, folks. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch me over on Chemology 411, and I'm going to try to continue to put out more of these quick rants or scales of truth, kind of picking it up a little bit. All right, everybody, be safe.